The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and I thank you once again for your gracious support during these podcast episodes. This latest one is going to be a rather special one because I've had the opportunity to talk to quite possibly one of the greatest water ski jumpers of all time, coming to us out of Canada and recently selected to the Canadian National Water Ski Team for I don't know how many times, but he's here and will be competing in the World Championships in a few weeks' time. It's Ryan Dodd. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Tony, doing great. So nice to be on.
Indeed. I'm so glad to have you on. So let's try and address the 500 pound elephant in the room. So far as you know, being largely absent from really the tournament scene for the best part of I don't know one, two, maybe going on three seasons. I mean, the amount of tournaments that you've skied in that time period, you could probably count on maybe one or two hands. I'm sure a lot of it is injury related or what have you, but is that just it, or is there any other reason?
I mean, there's lots of reasons, and you know, I get asked often, and it is hard to relate. I mean, most people that you know, ski, they see that, you know, them being fulfilled is competing often and, you know, and going to all the events. I try to be extremely purposeful with my time, with my decisions. And, you know, jumping's literally my favorite thing to do. I mean, I have a lot to be grateful for. I have a great family. We have a rapidly growing real estate business that I've been working out with my wife, Brianne, for 13 years. We have two kids, but jumping is still my priority. It's still my favorite thing to do. And those injuries that you're referring to, you know, multiple hernia discs in my back, I broke my foot.
Wow.
Some hip, you know, at the Malibu Open 3 years ago. It doesn't have the range and flexion it used to. I've had some hip issues. And to me, like deep down, I want to be the best athlete I can possibly be. Like, I've always looked at Olympic athletes and been like, they train 4 years for one moment. So
wow.
I don't see, like, it's hard. I mean, when I was younger, I competed. I've won every event. I have the world record. You know, I think I've won 90%. I think I'm a 90% win percentage over the last probably 8 years. You know, I keep these stats just for myself. I don't, you know, and I don't care what other people see as a metric for what being the best or their best is. I try to continuously recreate that for myself. And I had this feeling this spring, like, I'm healthy. I'm in a good place. I care about what I can squeeze out of myself as a human and athlete. And that was my purpose this whole year. And I decided, let's try to be my best for this World Championships and work every moment backwards. And it's super hard.
Indeed.
Very challenging.
Indeed. I mean, with the injuries that you had, herniated disc and all of that, it's not the easiest of things to really shake off and move forward, you know. And I can certainly sympathize with that comment that you made in regards to Olympic athletes, you know, like training for 4 years just for one shining moment, you know. But I'm probably of the mindset myself of like wanting to see more of the greatest athletes, you know, take to the water, you know, rather than having to wait for like the Masters or maybe one other tournament in between the Masters and the World Championships during the World Championship year. And you know, maybe people like myself have got to step back and say, hey, we should be grateful for those guys that are training as much as they train for those few fleeting moments, you know, and take solace for that.
Every day I wake up, my whole life, Brianna and I and our kids and our whole life is strategically based in reverse based off me jumping at the World Championships this year on that day, counting down backwards. I mean, and this is why I've won the last four. I don't take what I do lightly. When I say I'm going to show up, I'm going to show up. And there's a purpose. Like, I showed up to California last minute because I was like, let's test all the new things I've been doing. Like, I hired a nutrition coach. I hired a powerlifting coach. I've been doing sprint work. I've lost 15 pounds in 3 months.
I've noticed. You're cut, man.
So I said, I'm going to go to California, see how my water skis feel. I've only jumped 4 times in 8 weeks, but let's see what's up. But now, and it's odd, now the pressure's on me because I'm healthy. I'm strong as I've ever been. I'm light as I've ever been. And now I'm out here at the site and I'm trying to like mitigate every variable and jump far. And guess what? I haven't jumped that far. So it's kind of like I can show up not jumping injured and go 230. And now in the last week, I've only jumped 229 feet. So it's a lot of pressure. But I mean, I go to the Masters. I've been kind of training. I'm kind of heavy. I'm kind of beat up. I can win, like, feeling all conservative. And, like, that's not what I want to do. I still want to jump over 254 feet. And that's jump far I never jump, even in practice.
Wow.
If I can do it in practice or Sunday next week, even if, like, to me, that's cool. And if no one watches, that's too bad, but that's what matters to me the most.
So fair to say that you measure yourself not against your competition, but against yourself.
Well, how could I if I've been ahead for 8 years? Like, what's that going to do to me? So I've tried to raise my bar in my head from what has won 90% of the times and have the current world record and jumped over 240 more than anyone ever has. So what? Comparison is not helping. So I need to see. I need to reimagine what I can do, and I need to push myself hard. Never have before. I'm too old to do it. So that's what I've done the last, you know, this whole year, and it's been brutal and painful and exciting and draining. And I've had a lot of help, and it's a lot more work. And now I'm here trying to jump and do what I love to do.
Okay, so you touched upon in one of the previous responses that you've changed a lot of things. You've gotten to see off a nutritional coach, strength coach, you know, kind of like all of the things that in professional sports that a lot of athletes kind of take for granted, especially in football.
I mean, and I pay for it. And I remodeled 50 houses in the last 5 years so I can afford to be an athlete. So
wow,
this is what I'm doing.
Okay, so nutritionally speaking, what has changed? You know, because I've noticed that you've shredded really since the last time I really saw you, about 2 seasons ago for the World Championships.
Thank you. Yeah, I tried my own, tried my best, and then through a great reference, someone I trust and who's helped me a lot with my back, he had a buddy who's a nutrition coach, used to be a pro snowboarder, and so the last, 3 months, we've worked together and just dug in and testing and data and finding out what works and what doesn't. And it's actually become a lot more simple and a lot more consistent. We've weeded out things that I don't respond well to. We've controlled my calories and figured out what to eat and when, use it for fuel, and lost a pound a week for, 15 weeks. So just chipping away.
Okay, so what if you cut out your diet? Would you say what's the main key that's gone by the wayside?
I've been pretty clean for a long time. I mean, I stopped drinking, but then I stopped drinking at the start of the year, and that didn't really change my weight. so then it was the next is, you know, I'm definitely sensitive to sugar. I really don't eat sugar anyways, but even fruit. Like if I eat an apple at the wrong time, I'm not losing weight today. So basically, the only sugars I've been eating are basically carrots and blueberries, and only dosed if I'm before exercise, and a lot of protein and nutrient dense food. And the only supplements really are Garden of Life, some magnesium at night, plant-based protein powder. But just weighing it, controlling it, just being more precise, specific, and purposeful, just like we're supposed to do with everything. So yeah. It wasn't like I lose all this weight, and it's just and consistency. Like I have stayed absolutely consistent for 3 months straight, and yeah, it's a mind game.
And what about strength? What about strength and conditioning? You know, because I mean, I've seen videos of you in your garage. You know, doing some pretty brutal stuff with weights and stuff like that. You know, but I mean, as time marches on and people age, you know, I mean, you've got to change your regimen at some point to address the boredom of the whole thing, the boredom and the tedium, and you know, to go alongside what your body is doing as you work up to some of these events.
Yeah, the challenge is we need to be really I'm probably the most consistent with my training of anyone I've met, which is boring. It's absolutely boring.
Oh, and my word.
Spicing this up usually leads to injury. So it's absolute consistency, continuous improvement of basics, and an understanding of my body and like what's truly taxing it, my body, my joints, my nervous system, and then when to dose that stuff, right? Like this week, I trained here 3 days. I went home the next morning. I was like, man, I got deadlifts tomorrow. And I got powerlifting, and I've had, you know, 3 herniated discs in my back in the last 6 years, and I'm so nervous, I'm stiff and scared, but like, it's in my program, stick to my process, stick through it. And I got through it, I had the best lifting session I've had this year, but I had a coach like train me exactly on the mechanics of cleans and powerlifting and deadlifts. And my other trainer, Avery, who's trained me for 3 years, you know, we're interacting daily. I consult with my physio, all this on my drive home after jumping. And we slightly tweak the volume and intensity. I tweak the positions a little bit less depth to tax the hips, the back, the knees less based off the jumping, trying to balance it all out and just keep stacking these weeks up. And you know, over 3 months, my deadlift's only gone up 20 pounds, but you keep adding those quarters together, right?
Yeah,
maybe
indeed.
Next year I'll be up 80 pounds. Or at least I won't be injured again. That would be, you know, it's like 38 years old. I've 6 foot jump for 23 years. I was 16 years old. I could jump 230 feet. I've been doing this a long time. Not as long as Freddie. That's insanely impressive. But who cares? Doing this for 1 year is nuts. So I'm also thankful to be jumping, and even more thankful to still have the hope that I can jump farther than I've ever jumped.
And probably being in the condition enough to where you can actually wake up out of bed in the morning and not feel like a great big just...
Six years ago when I broke the world record, I was pushing really, really hard everything, volume, intensity, in the gym, on the water. My body felt bad. And actually that jump, I felt my hip on the ramp, and that hip is what led to my back. And then the whole web started to kind of disintegrate. I jumped a lot from like 2010 to 2016, when I was, you know, third and fourth to Freddie and Jarrett and those guys, to Ty and Freddie once in a while in 2011, and starting to eclipse them and win just over 50%, I think, in 2013. I was jumping like 10 sets a week, full double, 6 foot, 10 months a year.
That's
like
insane.
I had to squeeze an inch out a day, and that's not possible now.
Yeah.
I jumped 6 jumps last week. I jumped 4 today, and this is all I'm going to do all week till the tournament.
And I mean, it's not just hitting the jump. It's like kind of passing as well, and even some of those. I mean, the amount of pull and the amount of leverage that you have to take off the turn. It's not just the impact, is it? It's just the strain of just getting there.
My position that I jump in is a lot of load on your spine. But it's less load on my ski, so that's why I go fast. But it's got to go somewhere. It's a big puzzle. I still like to mess around with it. It's still my priority. I watch the guys. I watch the events. But like I said, by me going, it's convincing me that I'm great by winning by a foot, and that's not what I want. I want to be my best. I want to show up and win by 20 feet.
It's like Coach Prime, you know, he just doesn't want to win. He wants to dominate, right?
Or at least just be my best. Even if I do my best and I don't win, it's going to hurt, but deep down I'll know. When you say give it your best shot, I'm definitely giving it my best shot. And there's been years I haven't. This is This is it.
Yep.
This is like, I don't know what else to do. I'm trying it all.
Well, I mean, you did mention you're getting heavily into the real estate business, that kind of stuff, but we'll mention that a little bit later on. A few minutes ago, you name-dropped Freddy Krueger. You know, I mean, the fact that he's out there just absolutely so blasting cool. away at age 48. Could you possibly be doing what he's doing at that age?
I have more hope this year, right? You know, I've learned a lot about my body and even, like I said, my nutrition and the things that I've dove into this year that give me belief that I could. But it's, I'm just going this year. What can I do this year? I'm going like, and it's, you know, we got 3 weeks left and that's what matters. And that's where I'm focused. And like Freddie's always said, you never know how long you can do it. I still love to do it. And I think this is gonna, regardless of what I do at the Worlds this year, if I go 255 feet or 220, I've definitely set myself up for next year for a great, great year, which is exciting.
Yeah, because I mean, there are people out there that are probably thinking he's good for one more world jump title, and then we won't see the likes of Ryan Dodd. Until we see the next young competitor coming up like the likes of Jack Critchley or Joel Poland or those other guys that you've probably watched on TWBC during the course of the season.
Yeah, I mean it was fun to show up in California and see guys like, you know, jumping 235 and Freddie 237 and you know, because I'm jumping decent, I'm 240s all my jumps, so it was nice to show up and it woke me up. That was super cool. Yeah, there's a strong field of guys, but like, to be honest, like, what year did I start? I was 17 years old, Malibu Open 2003. I got, what did I get, third with 227 feet, you know. Then I went to the Mastercraft Pro. Jimmy Seemers broke the world record with 236. I got ninth place with 225. So for like all these guys to think they're jumping really far right now, you know, our boats are going way faster. The skis are better. They're fitter. Like the general field is still not jumping as far as they were 20 years ago. When I first started, I got ninth place with 225 at the US Open. So it's nice to see people starting to realize that like 230 feet isn't far. Bunch of guys in the 20s. We had two or three of us at 230 in California, but like, this isn't anything to brag about. We got big jumps to do.
Mm-hmm. So. Give us a little bit of a summation of what your technique is. I mean, because yours maybe with the possible exception of Dorian Llewellyn and Jarrett Llewellyn, you know, Canadians as well. You see, between you guys, you seem to have just mastered the technique of just being able to keep full contact on the water with your jump skis right off the turn all the way through the jump, as a direct contrast to someone like a Freddy Krueger or a Joel Poland who go aerial off the wakes before hitting the jump. I mean how do you learn that for starters, and how and what are the keys to staying consistent with it?
Oh, I mean, I grew up watching Jarrett, so just that visual helped, right? The family, friends, my dad and Jarrett's dad grew up at the same club in Alberta, 15 minutes apart. My dad was always around Jarrett when he was little, and then it's the obvious thing, oh, he's the best in the world. Let's look at that. You know, you're just tracking. You're staying in contact with the water. It's more like snow skiing. I mean, you're losing ground if you're getting air. You're losing ground. You're losing acceleration. Just the challenges with wakes, it's like, to stay in contact but not lose your position while, you know, going over these wakes are like moguls, is hard. You have to be really balanced. You have to be aligned. You have to be able to absorb with your legs while staying down. So, you know, I just learned as a kid. I rode my skis a lot, watched Jarrett, snow skied. My dad just said, keep edging. And I'd get in trouble if I wiggled.
That simple, huh?
Well, I wasn't allowed to do it wrong, so yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, we spoke a little bit about Canada, and let's try and pivot towards your country a little bit, because I mean, you've just been recently selected to the Canadian national team. Congratulations on that. How many appearances now have you represented Canada at the World Championship level?
Well, my first one, I made the national team when I was 16. I had to jump, I had to jump 200 feet, trick 96, run 3 at 38 to make the team.
Okay.
So I sped the boat up. I was still 2 years into juniors left. Went 6 foot, started the season in Canada. Crashed a few times, made it. So convinced I was going to even win. Didn't win. Yeah.
So when you were 16, what year was that?
2001.
2001, that would have been, that would have been in Ricetto in Italy, right?
Yeah. I was all amped, fired up, jumping with Jarrett, back-to-back jump sets. And like, so yeah, that one all the way through. I missed one with my head injury in Russia, 2011 I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And Brianne went and represented the family and got tied for third and got fourth in slalom, which is super cool. I missed one over whatever, 23 years.
Now, it must be quite touching from your point of view, or quite gratifying from your point of view, that that Canada is still, is still prepared to entrust upon you to do what is necessary out there on the water, being a specialist and being in the specialist in a very, very tough event. Of jumping, because I mean, Canada has plenty of specialists that they could have chosen from. I mean, in other events such as Cole McCormick and Stephen Nephew, but they look to you to put the points on the board in a singular event, which could really turn the tide, really.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, consistency and my track record over the years, and I inched my way up from 8th and 6th and 4th at a Worlds and 3rd at a Worlds and 2nd at a Worlds, and then I won, and I've won the last four. So it's like, and they see I'm healthy, and, Canada has a really detailed program. We get fitness tested, we get drug tested, we got tons of check-ins, we submit yearly training plans, we get funding, we get grants if we do well. We got a support team. And Steve Bush has run that a lot. And now that, Torch has been handed over to, a new crew who's doing really well. And, so I guess they have faith in me to keep doing my best. But they check up on us all the way throughout the year. So literally I got drug tested 2 nights ago at 11 p.m. So
oh, lovely.
They thought someone was robbing us, but no, just the whole USADA showing up for Canada. But yeah, so they're not just throwing darts at who's going.
Yep. So, I mean, hardly a surprise that you were selected. What let me ask you for your assessment of how Canada's team is shaping up. Let's go through some of the names. Okay. Obviously, you, Dorian Llewellyn.
Yeah.
Give us your take on him.
I mean, he's been absolutely focused for, I guess, 2-3 years since he's been out of school. Super consistent, hard worker, massive potential to win overall. He won tricks last Worlds. He almost, got near me in jump, which is...
But he comes in with an injury on his left foot, right?
He's beat up a little. But again, the medical team and his medical team, and they've assessed him, and we're seeing him training out here, and how are you doing, bud? And then I come out here, and he's slalom and tricking and two jump sets, and he's going easy, but he's smart. He's building into it. He can do all the stuff. It's just now that his body's functioning, just turning up the dial a little bit. But yeah, he'll be strong.
Conley Panette.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I coached Conley a few times since he was a little kid, and now the last handful of years jumping 6 foot. I don't train with him anymore, so I don't really see what he's doing daily, but he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He's definitely going to go for it. I know that. So I think he's got potential of definitely making the finals, being a top, top four, top six, if he does what he can. So we'll see. And he's overall, too.
Indeed. Fresh off a pending collegiate national women's trick record, Neely Ross.
Yeah, I mean, she's the best or one of the best women's trickers and also a great slalomer, so she's ready to go. She'll do awesome, I think.
and last two competitors. First of them, Pedrini, who's been doing pretty well so far this year on the water ski World Water Skiers overall tour. You know, she's traveled through most, if not all, of the stops this season.
Yeah, I haven't skied with her, but I used to ski with Matt a bit when I was a kid. She's just, to me, I've seen her consistently improving. I think a great overall skier. Was she slalom deep 39 now? And
oh, yeah.
9,000 points? I don't know the exact stats, but yeah, I think.
Yeah, jumping is a weak is a weak portion. But even so, she was able to score a third place overall the last time round in 2021, awesome. Yeah.
I just know everybody on the Canadian team has got a program. They're looking at a bigger picture than just skiing every day. Everybody takes it seriously, and we've got a great shot.
Indeed. And there's one person we missed out, wasn't it? Whitney McClintock-Greeny.
Well, we know what she's going to do.
Yeah.
She's going to come out blazing and hopefully win slalom.
Yeah, and she's probably, I think she'll actually be tricking as well, okay. just to give
her. I didn't know if she was or not.
Yeah, from what I understand from the reports that I'm getting, she's probably be tricking, which is just a, you know, it's just, you just hammer the nail, you know, yeah, in, and then you just whack it in just a few more times just for good measure, you know, Team Canada ahead of the other
we'll
countries.
We'll see.
All right, then. So we'll round up this podcast at this time. I certainly thank you, Ryan Dodd, for availing yourself of your valuable time to talk to me. I'm sure you got you. Sure, if I give you the opportunity, you'll no doubt thank Brianne and the folks closest that you associate with to get you trained up and prepared for something like this, because you know, dialing up your season for six jumps, you know, is a pretty tall.
Yeah, I went for Moomba, went great. The Masters went great. Last minute California entry went all right, and now the whole focus has been here, and everybody that I work with has known that, and they put pressure on me, but I think I put pressure harder back, and I've got, you know, it's like when I was younger, I had, you know, my dad and Mike Ferraro and Jarrett Lowell and a few coaches, but now it's like the list just keeps growing. New people, the same people come back around, and super thankful. Brianne's in there every day dealing with me, helping me, giving me wisdom, support. And then, like I said, I have my trainer, Avery Tucker, been amazing over the last, I think, 4 years. I started working with Eric Goodman. He's foundation training. He's one of the best back experts in the world, and he lives over in Satellite Beach. He's helped me immensely. Corey Howell is a pro surfer on his own chiropractic clinic, and I see him every week. He's also over by me at the beach. Still talk to Mike Ferraro like two times this week. He's helping me. Natalia, we were college friends, and we helped each other with jumps. She just rode in the boat and gave me like the most insight I've had in a long time. Just
oh, wow.
Like, hey, this is you, but you're not doing this. Like, she remembers me when I'm
and she's back like, in college.
College, and just over the years, like, watching me from a distance and talking, and I used to help her, and she's help her students, and vice versa, and we've both helped the same athletes, so just in the same language was super helpful and kind of turned me around there. Where else do I go? There's just so many people.
Of course, you're doing it for your kids as well.
What I need changes. Like, literally yesterday, I was, like, trying to buy a house, and I needed to borrow money from my brother-in-law, my dad, and we needed to... I'm like, Brianne, we need to figure this out. Like, this is, like, a third of our year's income, like, right now. You want me stress relief for the world? Let's make this happen. I have to think about it for the next 3 weeks. I got a lot of help, and I love it.
Indeed. And I certainly thank you once again for availing yourself of your time to do this podcast. This has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast with Ryan Dodd. And we certainly wish him the best of luck going forward with the World Water Ski Championships coming up very, very soon in a little over 2 weeks' time at the time of this recording. So on behalf of him and myself, Tony Lightfoot, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC Podcast.